It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The one you came to see, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Hi, welcome to my podcast. This is Judy Gold, Kill Me Now, where my friends and other celebrities come on and discuss what pisses them off, since I'm always pissed off. At the boards and boring me is Lauren Hennessy, who is not allowed to talk. Lauren is a trans whatever.
Thank you.
Lauren is a male.
Glad
yet
to be here.
Has boobs. And
that's true.
Because Lauren does not want to transition physically, because Lauren gets work Anyway,
so that's part of the opening.
And one of my all time from the beginning of time when you started doing stand-up.
Go on, boss.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry. Did you?
Oh, I thought you were still talking to me.
No, I wasn't. And I said, don't talk unless you're spoken to.
Sorry.
Ted Alexandro is here.
Thank you, darling.
Ted Alexandro, ladies and gentlemen. My friend Aram Ortiz, a retired lieutenant, is sitting on the sofa because she laughs at every fucking thing I say. And then Kemda from Keith and the Girl.
We love
who's
Kemda.
Letting us use the Keith and the Girl studios. And thank God Keith's not here. That's all I have to say. So thank you, Kemda. Ted, you're my second guest.
I am so honored to be here.
Oh, God, I love you, Ted. I love you. I'm a lesbian who loves guys.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love men. I don't want to have sex with them or, like, have their penis, like, in their mouth or anything. But
Penis?
Excuse me?
Nothing.
I heard a voice. I don't know who that was. But
that's what real love is. It's because eventually that's what all marriages turn into, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Real love is just you like to be around that person.
Right. So, but I do. I have sons, and I you're one of my favorite men.
Thank you, Judy. I love you, too. And every time I see you, I just feel happy.
What?
Every time I see you.
That is such a lie.
That is. No, it's true.
Really?
Every time we see each other, it's just.
And we yell, darling.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my history with Ted. First of all, Ted came on the scene. I was already a very established headliner.
That's for sure.
I'm kidding.
No, it's true.
But Ted used to open for me a lot because he's so fucking funny. He was like the perfect opener for me because he got the audience to listen. And he's so smart. And they were. It was like it sort of upped the level of intelligence.
I made them attentive, even if they didn't really laugh that much.
Oh, everyone laughs at your jokes. I mean, I remember in Georgia, I was at did you ever do the punchline in Marietta, Georgia?
Yes. Years ago.
Okay. That was where I wanted to kill me now. Okay. Kill me now. I'm headlining. And this guy gets on, right? He's the MC. Right. So it was right around the Lorena Bobbitt when she got, she chopped her husband's dick off.
Right.
So this was
your perfect man.
I don't know. Someone's talking. Shut off. Anyway, feedback.
Yeah.
So this guy got on stage, right? And he's the MC, and he does a joke about Lorena Bobbitt. These were his two jokes.
And he did it at the point that this was a new joke.
Right.
Nobody
it was during the Lorena. It was a little after the Lorena Bobbitt, okay. But it was still in the,
in the pocket.
I mean, I would have moved on at this point,
right.
But
Right.
And he's emceeing. So he brings up the first guy. He does fine. And then before he brings me up, these are the two jokes. Ready? So Lorena Bobbitt, she chopped her husband's dick off, And then you're like, she threw it out the window and like the police found it. I mean, can you even imagine the police, like after they found it, going like, you pick it up. No, you pick it up. No, you pick it up. No, you pick it up. Okay.
I bet it killed. Too. Did it kill?
Oh, it fucking killed. Yeah, of course, Aram, the police lieutenant, is laughing. And then he does a joke about how him and his brother used to compare the size of their shits.
Of their shits.
Yeah. It was like a contest. Who had a bigger shit?
Yeah.
Here's your headliner, Judy Gold. Okay?
Follow that, bitch.
And I remember that at this time I had opened with the, I had short hair and everyone thought I was a transvestite all the time. And I used to say I'm not a transvestite. Everyone thinks I'm a transvestite.
Did you have the spit curls?
I might have had the spit curl. Okay. I don't know. I hate that fucking spit. Anyway, so.
Oh, so cute.
Feedback. So.
I'll take care of that.
So. I said, oh, everyone thinks I'm not a transvestite. The other day I go to the gym, I walk into the ladies' locker room. This woman, like naked woman, hides behind her locker screaming. So I whipped it out, right? I showed her my penis. So, silence.
Nothing. Yeah.
And then they screamed out, the Jews have all the money.
No.
Yes, they did. And I was like, really?
This is the first 5 minutes you're on stage?
Yeah, it was within, yeah. I said, really? Because that's why I'm working here and being tortured, because I'm so fucking rich.
What does that have to do with anything?
But yeah, it was.
That room is insane. I think they just closed. I think I just heard.
Oh, that's too bad. That was one of the road gigs where I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I did it so long ago that I don't really remember. I remember not liking it.
Right.
But I don't remember specifics. I probably blocked it out. But I think it was. I think I had the same experience where it was just like, you know, the feeling when the kind of local MC or whatever goes on before you.
Yeah. And they're like a local. Everyone's like, oh, you're going to have a local favorite introducing you. And they're like, no.
Yes.
Please. No. You know, it's like, hey, can you believe what happened on Oak Street last week?
Right.
Yeah. Timmy fuckhead was walking across the street. He got struck by light. You know, it's like, oh, my God, kill me fucking now.
Yeah.
So,
I'd rather just have like a random person from the audience.
Right. Get up. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, Ted, let's talk about you. Even though it's going to be painful for me to talk about someone else, I'm going to do it. We have some things in common. I was a music major. You were a music major.
That's right.
And you taught music to elementary school
kids. I taught here in New York public schools for 5 years.
Right.
When I first got out of Queens College.
Mm-hmm. And?
I was teaching like during the day, you know, the recorder. Like at first it was at two different schools.
Right.
And then I was starting at the open mics, kind of just kicking around.
But did you want to be a musician?
I did. I first started at City College uptown as a jazz piano major, but I was just like, I was in over my head.
I mean,
everybody was so talented.
Oh, I know.
You know?
I know. I went from performance to just a general music major.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
Because they sat in those friggin' practice rooms for like 6 hours a day. I'm like, I'd like to have some human contact.
Yes.
And a friend. Right. You know, that's it. I just want a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. They were so good. And like you say, so dedicated. And then I had to play like, you know, you do your jury.
Jury.
Oh. I had to play for Ron Carter.
No!
The jazz bassist who played with Miles Davis.
No fucking way.
Herbie Hancock. So, you know, that's when I knew. I'm like, you know, I'm a sham. I can't do this. You know, I was more nervous for that than I was for any stand-up gig I've ever done.
Oh, yeah. I went to my jury. I had to play Gershwin, the F in F. I forgot. I did a Gershwin piece and something else. And I remember, like, the head of the department after. And, you know, they're like, do an A minor 6, blah, 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 you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and afterwards I did okay. But yeah.
You're good. I've heard you played in your last woman show.
Right. And yes. So. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're legit.
Thank you. And so I hardly ever practice because I hate my piano. But anyway, I remember the head of the department I walked out and she's like, well, I didn't think he could do it. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm going to be a comic anyway, you asshole.
You know, that was one of the things I said when I opened for Louis at Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm. Name drop. Wait, can you pick that up, Lauren? Pick that up. Yeah,
I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Thank you. I said,
all right, got it.
20 years ago, I was a music major at City College for jazz piano, and I never thought I would be on the stage of Carnegie Hall as a comedian 20 years later.
Should I get that one too?
Did they laugh?
Yeah, they did. That was the first thing I said.
Because I didn't laugh.
Well, you know. Picture me being on stage saying,
I know.
It's an important piece of information.
So.
Yeah. Oh. My energy is more of a lullaby. You have to remember that.
Oh, God. Do you love Gershwin?
Love Gershwin.
You know why I love Gershwin?
How about you?
Oh, I love in June. How about you? You know why I love him so much?
Should I leave you guys alone?
This is when everyone shuts the fucking podcast off. The reason I love Gershwin so much, was it Irving Berlin or him, where they tried to teach him and they said, no, don't give him a teacher, like, let him go. But the thing is, he really, truly created American music. He took like European influences and American music and jazz. And it's like this conglomeration, you know, like Aaron Copland. They were all in that little, you know, Aaron Copland was gay with Leonard Bernstein. They all had that little gay group.
Yeah.
But he really changed. He made American music.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of took like the European Jewish experience, the minor key, almost.
Right.
Like, and then they talked about the similarities with the blues,
right,
and that type of stuff. Yeah,
right.
He really did, you know, fuse so many different styles.
Yeah, I know. And dead.
Is he the one who played strictly on the black keys? Was that Gershwin? I know Gershwin or
I think Irving? That was Al Sharpton, actually.
I think you might be right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
See, this changes me as a human. Like, when I hear that, I'm like a whole different person.
I see it.
This was your Jerry.
It was?
Gershwin.
Yes, it was. I'm having PTSD. Anyway, did you see Whiplash?
Want some weed?
Whiplash.
The fucking movie about the guy in music school.
I didn't.
Oh my God, you have to see that movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the one with Jay something.
Simmons.
Simmons, yeah. I love that guy.
Oh, fuck. I was like, Aliso, my partner, was, I don't want to watch this. They're so abusive. And it was just totally, I remember one time I was in college and I forgot my music for orchestra. Mm. And it was like I fucking, you know, set off a bomb at the school. Get out! I'm like, oh my God, really? I'm just going to go home and get stoned anyway. All right, so.
Can I quickly recommend a documentary that I just saw?
Yes.
It's called Keep On Keeping On, about jazz trumpeter Clark Terry.
Mm.
Very similar to what you're talking about, except the documentary. Clark Terry is a legendary genius who played with the Duke Ellington Band, Count Basie Band, and then in his later years was a teacher at William Patterson. And this blind pianist came into the program.
Oh, I love him!
Justin...
Yes! I fucking love that
guy!
You
know him?
Well, I know who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fucking amazing!
Amazing.
I have him on Pandora.
Yes, yes.
Oh, go, sorry.
So Clark Terry mentored him.
Right.
And at the time, Clark was in like late 80s, early 90s, and starting to go blind.
Right.
So it was kind of this dual mentorship. You know, the young kid was helping him, you know, get acclimated to losing his sight, and Clark Terry was just, you know, musical genius.
But, you know, and he's still young, the guy.
The kid is like 27, 28. Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
All right. We're done with this shit. Anyway.
Justin Coughlin.
Coughlin.
Okay,
that's it.
I don't
with
know.
A K.
I heard something going on in the background. Something.
Watch so, that. Watch that movie.
And 20 Feet from Stardom.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
good.
Yes.
Okay. See how we should start a band.
Let's do it. We'll do it.
Who else could be in it?
I play the drums.
And so
Justin Coughlin.
Let's not have a drummer. Let's do it without
no drummer.
Drums.
Definitely not.
Yeah. We can. So we'll get someone to play bass, and we don't need drums.
That's right.
Your partner plays bass.
I don't know what's going on here. So So, all right. So, Ted, you've had, we're going to talk about you, but then we're really going to talk about what pisses you off. But, so you are an extremely successful stand-up comic. You have a show, Teacher's Lounge.
Yes.
Are you making any more?
We're in the process of figuring that out. We pitched it to three different places, so we're waiting to hear back from two of them.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, TBS, already has a show about teaching, so they said they... You know.
I love when they do that. Don't you love that? already have a white male who's single and does stand-up on our network. So, sorry.
There's like 500 cop shows, but you can't have two
teaching
shows.
Right, right.
So, yeah. Anyway, so we're
fuck TBS. Except when I pitch my show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
So we're waiting to hear back. IFC is the one that we kind of feel
would... I love IFC.
They would be the best fit for the show.
The thing about you that I love is that you think out of the box.
Thank you.
I think in the box, actually, because I'm a lesbian.
Hey-o.
Good night, everyone! But you do things your way. And that's what I've always kind of done things my way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear some Frank, please. I did it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Coming right up.
And so,
my way.
And so,
and now.
And that, you know, you did the teacher's lounge thing. I remember that one, there was one episode with a gym teacher that was.
It was really, well, that would put us on the map.
Yeah, and that was an award-winning.
Award-winning yes. episode of our web series. Yeah, you were perfect as the gym teacher. And everyone says that, like, as soon as I say Judy Gold's the gym teacher, everyone just, like, collapses. You
duh.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Everyone says duh.
I wore my Provincetown t-shirt, I remember.
Yes. You brought, I think you brought two, and you're like, should I wear
the? Yeah,
like,
I know.
Yeah,
I have the tank.
Wear that one.
And then I have the long, you know. That was so fun to
And then
do.
You had, like, the sweat. Like
yeah.
The, you,
yeah, we put fake sweat on, and I was like, hey, guys, what's going on?
The backwards hat, the
yeah.
whistle.
Yeah, I was total gym teacher.
For folks that don't know, it is a web series where I play the music teacher. My buddy Hollis James, with whom I co-created the series, he plays the janitor. And every episode, we have great comedians playing faculty members. Mm-hmm. So Judy is our gym teacher, and then Lewis Black's the principal. Jim Gaffigan is the nutritionist. And...
Wait, what about Janine does the announcements?
Janine does the announcements.
Wait, what happened with Alec Baldwin?
Oh my God, that was so insane. So Janine did the first five announcements. Mm-hmm. Every episode begins with like a PA announcement. Mm-hmm. And so she did the first five, but she was going away to like Vancouver to shoot a movie or something.
Oh,
so
whatever.
She couldn't do it. So
yeah.
So what happened was, you know, Alec Baldwin had tweeted about me randomly mm-hmm. like a year ago, just saying... I'm listening to this guy, Ted Alexandro, on mm-hmm. Sirius XM, and he's smart and funny. So mm-hmm. I tweeted back, thank you, I'm a big fan. So I said to Hollis, like, let's take a shot and get in touch with Alec Baldwin. So we went through Judah Friedlander, who had done 30 Rock mm-hmm. with him. Judah kind of facilitated it. And then within 24 hours, we heard back from his assistant saying, Alec's interested in doing your project.
Isn't that amazing?
He's crazy.
He's such a great guy.
Oh,
he saw
gosh.
Me do stand-up at Caroline's. And then when I did my first one person show, 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother, he came.
Yeah.
He hung out with me after. He drove me home.
Wow.
He goes to my gym. Well, he did, but he moved. He's just like the nicest, greatest guy.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
And he obviously has a temper, but so do I. But now I'm on. Do you take any antidepressants, anything?
No.
I know. You're lucky.
But it's in my family. You know, I have plenty of
really?
Mental illness in my family. Yeah.
I'm on the... I'm on the, you know, I do the Wellbutrin and the Ritalin in uh-huh. the morning. I'm also on hormones because I'm going through menopause. And then I'm at the Paxil at night with some trazodone to sleep. And so anyway, I just wanted you to know that. I really want to get off these fucking meds.
Yeah.
But yesterday I forgot to take them and I was teaching a class and I was like, ooh, what's wrong with me? And then I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
So it's so fucking weird when mm-hmm. you're mental.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. I mean, and why the resistance, though? I mean, I get it, but, you know.
No, I just don't want it because of the bloating and retain. I just would like to go on less.
Okay.
But I do all the other, I meditate, mm-hmm. which surprises many.
Yeah.
You meditate, don't you?
I do.
Do you do the whatever it's called? The
transcendental?
Yeah.
No, I just do kind of breathing.
Yes, I do that too.
Yeah.
But everyone pays like $40 million to do the trans. Like, this is what pisses me off. This is one of my piss
off. David, what's his name? Who's the guy that,
I don't know, some guru.
Celebrity behind it. Yeah.
Okay. The Scientology, the friggin' like. Kabbalah,
mm-hmm.
the transcendent, like all this shit that if you join it, you know, okay, you're gonna, like, I don't.
Well, the thing I hate about it too is that they use celebrities.
Right.
it's like, why does everything in our culture have to be stamped by a celebrity to be worthwhile?
Right.
You know, like, I don't care who's doing it. I don't care that Jerry Seinfeld is doing.
Right.
You know, or anyone. It's just like, if this thing is legitimate and good, then just like put it out there and you know, and help. If it's meant to help people, then put it out there.
Well, I had an agent call me and say, what diseases do you have so we can pitch you for, you know, being a spokesperson? I swear to God.
What diseases do you have?
Yeah, like, what do you have? I'm like, I have arthritis. Okay, good. Yeah, what kind? Oh, you don't have rheumatoid? You don't have rheumatoid? All right, just osteo. Okay.
Mental illness isn't enough.
See, there. I guess we're getting feedback from another podcast somewhere.
Jason.
And so, yeah, that's what they call me and ask me. I never get anything. Because, you know, who's going to take what I take? I mean, can you imagine? I'm mental, but this made me not. No, I'm fucking still mental. But anyway, so yeah. So they
So how often do you do the breathing and the meditation?
I try to do every day.
Wow. That's.
Mm-hmm. I miss a couple. I feel it when I miss it.
For how long?
20 to 30.
Yeah. That's about what I do.
Yeah. And, you know, there's certain ones I like to do, but I just. That whole, it really helps you be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're like, I'm out of control. And then you're like, it really is so incredible how it helps you. This is, I'm here now. I'm breathing. They're thoughts. They're not reality. It's just shit in my head. It's like your brain needs to go to sleep sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that separation between self and thought. Like, you know, I am not my thoughts.
Right.
I don't have to identify with a thought.
Even though
we
are comics and we kind of are our thoughts, but we're not our thoughts.
Yeah. It doesn't identify who you are.
So, and the Scientology thing. Did you watch the movie?
No. Well, tell me about it. Yeah.
I don't know. I watched a little. I always fall asleep. That's the other thing. Like, this really pisses me off. Elisa, like, I fall asleep. All right. Do you, like, get home and you're like, oh, my God, I'm so fucking tired?
Well, for us, it's a little different because we still have the adrenaline of having been on stage.
Right.
So I'm usually kind of amped.
Up.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll go home. I'll be up. But, you know, I also have children and I have shit to do during the day. Unlike every other fucking comic who complains that they're tired. I'm like, don't fucking tell me you're tired unless you had to make a fucking turkey, avocado, and banana pepper fucking sandwich at 7 o'clock in the morning and cut up red peppers. Anyway, so.
Wow. Turkey, avocado, and pepper. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, he likes the banana peppers.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And mayo. So anyway, you know, once I relax, I tend to doze off, and then Elisa gets mad at me.
You're talking about during the day or the end of the night?
Night.
Okay. She gets mad because
You'll fall. You guys are winding down, and you'll fall asleep first, and she gets mad.
Did you hear that?
It sounded like something.
No, I'll be in the fucking chair. I have this lounge chair thing.
Travel
Oh my God, it took you 4 hours to get that fucking song.
I did it my way.
Ah, nice.
Shut up.
How about that?
Yeah, I'll fall asleep. You know, let's watch a movie. And I have every intent of watching the movie.
Right.
And I'll get through a half hour, and then all of a sudden, it's the first time all day I've stopped, and then...
She takes it personally.
Right. She's like, don't tell me you're going to watch a movie and then fall asleep. Like, I'm purposely, like, going... Yeah. You know what? I don't want to watch the end of this movie. I want to fall asleep. You know, it's like, so anyway, I still have to finish Downton Abbey. I still have to finish Downton Abbey. I've fallen asleep. I just finished Orange is the New Black. Like I everything's hanging.
Well, does she have to watch them like over again?
Well, then I make her watch it over. And then she's like, okay, it's like a bargaining point in our relationship. Like, all right, if I do that, will you watch this one more time with me? You know, whatever.
Right.
So Ted and I went to Eretz Yisrael.
That's right.
The land of Israel. We did a benefit for the kid who was stoned by the Palestinians.
Yeah.
You know, we go to do the horrible story. But I remember they were so there. That last one at the West Bank.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
The family was very sweet.
Oh, I know.
That the husband in particular was really went out of his way to welcome us and very warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wife, you know, came to see my show.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. The Judy show. And, you know, when she came to America, they were like Jew. They were born here and then they Jewed out and went there.
Yes.
And... when she was here, she wasn't, you know.
I think
like,
that's how they explained it to us.
Yeah.
And oh, you Jewed out.
And then here, she was Jewy normal.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. She wasn't like Jewy, you know, with the.
She toned it down.
Yeah, she did it. Yeah. I mean, they get really Jewy.
Over there or in
when
general?
When they do the Aaliyah.
When you were on stage, you were kind of. You were making fun of that. You were talking about all the Jewy stuff.
I know. Did you know the last night, first of all, we had such a good time. And
what was that, like about a week, 10 days?
Yeah,
whatever.
Didn't we have fun? And Ian Edwards. Ian Edwards was there.
It was a perfect match.
Thank God. Avi wore that fucking button-down shirt every goddamn day. He goes to the
go
gym.
To the beach and he'd
have
a button-down.
Yeah, he has a fucking button-down. And he, like, literally, Avi Lieberman is, we should just call him Stereotype, okay? He is such a Jewy Jew. He comes to New York and he's like, Judy, I'm going to the gym. He has a fucking button-down shirt at the gym. I go, no. And then he's like, it's Shabbos. I'm going to be walking by your house. You want a little? And I'm like, no, I have to do work. Anyway, but every time we go out to eat, which is something I discussed on my with Frank, is that I hate when people go out to eat and they're cheap. Uh-huh. You know, and it's like, I had one soup and three croutons. So, you know, So we would go out. He'd be like, remember, we'd be after the show, like, give us a good restaurant.
Yeah.
And we'd go to the good restaurant and we'd all order. We'd get a beer and like whatever. And then we'd be like, Avi, what do you want? I'm not eating. I'm fine. And then you're like, Avi, eat. No, I'm fine. I'm not going to eat. Because I have to pay 10 cents, you know?
You're the most racist.
I mean, that wasn't racist. It was about him as a person. Right. All right? All right, anyway.
Specific to Avi.
All right, so we had a lovely time. I have
great.
To say, when we were where Jesus walked on water,
yeah,
that, for me, I felt like it was the beginning of time when I was standing there. Didn't it feel like?
Yeah, it felt. There was a palpable energy of history, something. I don't know.
Like, I was freaked out. I was like, oh my God. And it was foggy and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the.
Are you talking about when Jesus walked on water?
Yeah.
It was a foggy day. It was a foggy day.
It
was in London town where he walked on water.
The Sea of Galilee, you mean?
God, can we get some? What's going on with this? Like, is there another radio show going on? All right, so go ahead.
What was was it the Wailing Wall? The place where they said there was like one specific corner where they said all three religions,
right?
Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. It was a holy,
yeah.
Space,
that one, so. Yeah. That was. I love that.
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
What about how I went? We went somewhere. And I had shorts on, and they were like, cover your, and I'm like,
oh, that's right.
I had a sarong.
You had to put a wrap around.
Yeah, I had the sarong on. Thank God I had a sarong with me.
That was so funny.
Are you kidding me? I get so mad, you know?
You were so accommodating.
I know.
Cover your penis, man.
Yeah. I don't know what the...
Judy was...
We gotta fix this.
Judy and was so... It was so great to see you, like, want to snap on these
people. Oh, I was like...
People.
Yeah. And so
I love her hold back face. Oh, there
so,
it is.
We did, and we really bonded, and I feel like we had a very special experience together.
We did, because we knew each other, but not that well. I don't think we'd ever traveled together.
Right.
Right. Done a road gig together.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun.
And then the Franken Mersenkants or whatever it's called. What's it called? When we went to the church and it was the Frankincense, the fucking the, smell thing.
Oh, yeah. Frankincense and myrrh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the smoky
myrrh.
Thing that
yeah,
smells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Crazy.
That they walk around like that. And I'm like, that smells like incense. it's really an unbelievable place. Too bad that no one can fucking get along.
Right.
So, so you are one of the best joke writers, and the way I have to say the way you write, it's so unique. It's so and so socially relevant. Like you really, you're subversive, and yet it's so palatable and it's fucking hilarious.
Thank you.
So I fucking love you. But you've recently, not but, and recently, you've become a very
huge political activist.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's as huge as, you know, people make it out to be, just because, you know, I probably stand out in the comedy community.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But it's not like you have a point of view and you're not like just whining about it on stage. You're actually.
Yeah. Because what's interesting is I don't do a whole lot of political stuff on stage. I mean, I'll throw it in. You know, I did a bunch of stuff, you know, recently. But it tends to be more of the moment.
Right.
And then it comes and goes.
Right.
But as far as, yeah, my own involvement and stuff, you know, like I was at the Fight for 15.
Right.
The $15 minimum wage. You know, to raise the wage the other day.
Which one did you go to? The one on 70th, or do you go downtown?
Well, it started in Columbus Circle.
Right.
And then it went all the way down.
Because I was coming from my trainer.
Uh-huh.
And they were all there.
All these.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
I don't understand why people get a job and then they can't fucking live. Like, and the CEO is living in a.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead.
Yeah. So more and more, that's the conversation, is if corporate profits are at an all-time high,
right,
why are people who are working full-time not making a living wage? You know, I think if you work full-time for a year at the minimum wage, you're making like $15,000, which, you know, I mean, how can you live on that in New York City, certainly?
Right.
Or if you have a family,
even
more so. So, you know, I try to put my time and energy towards, especially the people that are struggling or the people that are at the bottom or don't have a voice.
Right.
Because they need the support. And then things will go up from there. If there's a $15 minimum wage, then everyone will it'll start to come upwards. From
and
there.
It's these fucking rich people who don't need any more money.
It's crazy. And New York in this last decade especially has really become...
Where's the fucking, like, John Philip Sousa music? Like, this is what you're so not...
I was going to ask if he walked on the water in Galilee when you guys were there.
Okay, so... what about the Dead Sea? That was fucking hilarious.
When we were floating?
Yeah, in the Dead Sea. I almost sank because I'm so fucking fat. But
it's just the salt in your body.
Yeah. Anyway. But here's the thing about you.
That weed was good, you guys.
We have to start a band. I would love to get together once a week and just fucking...
That would be great.
That one sounded good with drums.
Shut up. So, I am always, like, aggravated about something.
Sure.
As you know, I am my mother's daughter. And
Judith.
You never seem like... You're like Gloria Steinem. You know, you never... It's like you're always calm and you're always, well, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what, you know, do you get pissed off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's very real anger behind the things that I do.
Right.
You know, but I try not to, you know, to live angry to me is, it doesn't feel right.
Fuck you. Okay. Yeah.
While to others, it might feel, you know, exactly the right thing to
do. Like a warm blanket.
Yeah. Were your parents angry? Was anyone angry in your house?
No, my parents, my dad is very mellow,
mm-hmm.
Kind of the gentle giant type. Mm-hmm. My mom is, she's a little more kind of spirited, mm-hmm. you know, more of a spitfire,
mm-hmm.
But they're a good balance.
Are they both Greek?
No, none of them. I'm Italian on my dad's side.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
So,
Mediterranean.
But I get that a lot living in Astoria, especially.
Yeah, that's why I thought you were Greek, because you live in Astoria and I'm a racist.
That's right. That's right.
Wait, your father's Italian. What's your mother?
My mom's a mix of Irish, English, French, German.
Oh, German. Fine. No, that's
German
fine.
Jew.
Is she German Jew?
No.
Shut up. You never know.
She could be.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Okay, so let's talk about what you've been pissed off about and marching. So Ferguson.
Yeah. The you know, the police violence has been kind of an issue for the last.
So Aram is a police lieutenant, so she probably can't say anything.
That's all right.
But you, Aram, you have to admit the Eric Garner one. Okay.
Well,
anyway, you have to admit the South Carolina one was.
Yeah, that was insane.
She's not going to say anything about her brothers.
No, of course,
sisters.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing.
But I know how she feels. Go.
Again, for me, my involvement is, you know, when people are suffering, and not just suffering, you know, being killed, and certain communities are being policed differently than I am. I feel like it's incumbent on all of us to say, well, this is a problem and we collectively have to solve it. You know, like if I'm benefiting from certain communities being targeted and policed differently and I can walk around freely and just live my life without even, you know, and thinking of the police as my friends and my protectors because that's how they deal with me as a white man. Well, that's not cool that there's different, you know, different policies in place. And one of the outcomes of those policies, and I'm not talking about the police. I'm talking about the policies that they have to implement. You know, so when you're talking about like stop and frisk and you're talking about broken windows, those aren't in middle class white neighborhoods. Those are in black neighborhoods, and they have quotas.
So,
and the basic bottom line of that is that one every 28 hours or one every whatever it is. It's around that. One black person every 28 hours killed by either police or some sort of police enforcement.
So basically you're trying to get black fans.
I'm
and
trying.
You're just trying to fill these arenas
it hasn't
that you're
been
performing
working,
at.
Yeah.
So you're getting the black audience.
Yes. That was how it started.
So have you lost?
But they keep getting shot, so I keep losing.
I know, you keep
losing them just as quick as I get them.
It's a battle.
Yeah, it is a battle.
So, do you now have you gotten backlash? Like, I don't think you're funny anymore.
Yeah, I get that. Stick to the jokes, asshole, or you used to be funny, or you know, that
don't
kind
you
of stuff.
I fucking hate people like that. Like, oh, now look at him. I'm like, you know, you'll be like that. But you have to admit, everyone has a platform now. And I don't think everyone should have a platform.
Agreed. But here's the thing. Like, if there's one thing like that, of course, it doesn't feel good to read to read that. But it's one person for one person who says that, who says, you know, you're a comedian. Shut the fuck up with your political opinions, whatever. There's maybe, you know, 20, 30 that say, thank you so much for participating or for voicing your opinion. And I really don't take an antagonistic view towards police. I don't see it as like an us against them. I just see it as like we're trying to reform something that's a problem. And it's not about, for me, police officers. It's about policy and how do we make this work? So, you know, again, I don't say this on stage necessarily, but I did a bit about police brutality that actually...
Did it kill?
No pun intended!
Didn't sound like it wasn't intended.
La, 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 la.
It kind of went viral because it was one of those things where I knew that I couldn't do the bit forever. So I'm like, let me put this out now.
So what was it?
The bit was...
I hate when people do that, but just tell me.
Yeah, the basic idea was how, you know, a lot of black people have been getting shot by the police. And I was like... you know, I'm just trying to remember how it starts because I, you know, I tend to meander, but I say like, think of it like, think of it, just because something doesn't happen to you doesn't mean that it's not real. Just because something is, you haven't experienced something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Think of police brutality like a Tyler Perry movie. You may have never seen one, but that doesn't mean they don't exist.
Right.
You're not the intended audience.
Right.
Just like police brutality. And then the other part I said was, and the problem is, why can't we talk about how the police are doing? Like,
right.
You know, like I'm a comedian. I'm in front of crowds 5-6 nights a week.
Right.
Basically saying, How am I doing? Moment to moment.
Right.
You know, you see cars in New York City, phone numbers on the back. How's my driving?
Right.
You can just pick up. I don't like that.
Have you ever called a number like that?
No, I never have.
But you have. I've wanted to.
Yeah. So basically, you know.
Shut up. Yeah.
I feel like you'd call everyone you saw.
I do. I call a lot. Like, if you have any customer service rep you need me to call, I'm happy to do it. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So then I just finished by saying, but it's uncomfortable. I say it's uncomfortable to talk about. You can feel it. You can feel it right now. It's uncomfortable to talk about police brutality, but at least it's not police brutality.
Right.
You know, like, that would be a lot worse.
Right. I talk about the Holocaust in my act.
Yeah.
And have always have. And, like, it's so funny. The uneducated people are like, woo!
Yeah.
And don't realize that I'm trying to make a point that it happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's starting to happen again in Europe.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, no, it's not. No, no. And it's really, you know, come on.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing with stand-up is, like, you know, it's almost like culturally we've been conditioned to just talk about the fluffy stuff.
Right, right, right.
You know, pop culture, celebrities, you know, the latest whatever bullshit kind of story.
Well, that's what's going to make you a star or, you know, be able to do all this.
Yeah, it's an easier path. So when you kind of venture into these other things.
Right.
There is like an energy shift in a comedy club where they're getting drunk and they're just hanging out and it's a night out.
Right.
So, yeah, it is, you know, I get it. And that's why I don't do it all the time because, you know, I don't think about it all the time either. Right. It's a part of what I think about.
Right.
So
make it, when you have the audience to.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is I've learned over the years not to kind of compartmentalize and just do it in the safe rooms.
Right, right, right.
You know, like the Creek in the Cave or one of these kind of alt rooms, Whiplash. So I'll workshop stuff there, but then I'll take it to the Cellar because I know that I have to stand on my feet and do it in front of a club crowd too. I can't just pick and choose.
Yeah. So I was at the Cellar a few weeks ago and there were these three people from Germany. And, you know, once I find out they're from Germany, I, you know, have a little reaction. and it's just because my parents were older. My father served in war. I mean, I grew up like, you know, I born in 1962.
Yeah.
And the war ended in 1945. I mean, it's like, I'm fucking believable.
Sure.
You know, and I've a lot of Holocaust survivor friends of my mother, blah, blah, blah. So,
in Manhattan? Or no, Long Island.
No, New Jersey.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah. I'm from New Jersey. Yeah. So, I don't know what's going on here. So they were from Germany and, you know, it really pisses me off. They only teach in public schools. They only teach the Holocaust in New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Florida, California, and Connecticut.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. It's required. And so
other places might, but it's not part of this.
Right. So it's just like World War II, but no Holocaust-y stuff.
Right.
So this woman, there's this video that's fucking amazing. And this woman went to, she's daughter of Holocaust survivors. She went to, Pennsylvania doesn't teach it. She went to UPenn, Penn State, Temple, and Drexel, and just interviewed these kids, asking them like, so what was a concentration camp? Can you name a concentration camp? No. When was the Holocaust? I don't know, like 18. I mean, these are people at University of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And she finally gets to someone who's like, oh yeah, I know all this because and she knew everything. She was educated. She's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it was required. So it really pisses me off that it's not required, you know? And so I was talking to them and I said, oh, do you teach? One of them was a teacher. I said, do you teach the Holocaust? She goes, so that was it for me. I was like, you're fucking dead. And so.
But I think they do over there.
Yeah, they're supposed to. You can't deny it. I said, okay. So, or she was a German teacher, but shut up, whatever, English and German. So she, I said, German, do you any books like, you know, Night or On the Hall? No. And then I said, do you guys have any Jewish friends? And they're like, no. And I said, why? And they're like, I don't know. We can't find any. I said, why don't you try gardening?
I was so mad at them. The audience, but there were so many Jews in the audience who were so happy.
Yeah.
I said that. Like, I didn't say it, but it's a fucking reality. Yeah. It is a fucking reality. Right. You know?
Good for you. Good.
That, you know, their grandparents. Oh, I didn't know. I had no idea. I had no idea.
Right, right.
They're in your fucking backyard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so you're mad at me for that?
I'm going to lose. You know what? CBS is not going to be happy with that.
CBS needs to know the truth too. Right. They deserve it. They deserve to know the truth.
No, I think they're ready for it.
Yeah, so that really
CBS knows the Holocaust happened.
Yeah. They definitely.
They do? Les Moonves.
I mean, they're a great.
What really pisses you off?
What pisses me off? Well, you know, I think the things we're talking about, like injustice, mm-hmm. makes me angry, mm-hmm. Both on the micro level and the macro. Like, you know, like,
welcome to economics.
Well, I've been doing a bit lately about how the older I get, I find more and more things inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I was at the gym and they were playing this song. The song was like, "I don't give a fuck, bitch. I don't give a fuck."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh. Does anyone else find this inappropriate?
Yeah, right.
Like, I find like throughout the day, I have these moments of just like where I'm angry and like, you know, like I feel like somebody is letting society down.
I fucking feel that all the time.
Please do your Nicki Minaj.
No, I got in so much trouble for that.
Why?
No, it's just like, you know, I don't understand these songs with the N-word.
Right.
And like, you know, and Ben is like, has his headphones on. Yeah, motherfucking, and the bitch came. And I'm like, Ben, you're 13. This is a great song, mommy. No, it's not. It has no melody. Like, what is that shit? Like, we're talking about Gershwin. Like, what the fuck? You think he's probably like, okay, I did not work so hard to turn like...
Yeah, you know, that's what's so weird. Like, we're probably in the minority of our generation knowing Gershwin pretty well.
Right.
You know, and you talk about the next generation.
Oh, forget it.
You know, this music like jazz and classical.
I don't understand.
American songbook. It's going to disappear.
I went to, for New Year's Eve, it's Elise's birthday, because everything has to be inconvenient for me. And so, and you know, you make good money on New Year's Eve.
Right.
But their audiences suck. But if you do an early show, they're fine.
Yeah.
But
is that a point of contention? Like,
I'm just like, all right, I can't ever work on New Year's. Anyway, I have though. I have to, whatever. Just who fucking cares? Anyway, so we went to Gershwin at the Lincoln Center. You know, for
They were playing.
They do it every year. I was like, this woman next to me, because you know, I'm like, I'm so into it, and this woman next to me is like, "Oh, I didn't think anyone can enjoy Gershwin more than I." But it wasn't packed. It was like almost packed.
Yeah.
But it's like, where are the people? Like, this is fun. We have like down the street this amazing orchestra. Like, I don't get it.
Well, that's probably part of the problem is the woman that you just talked about. Like, it has that reputation of being hoity-toity. Like,
right.
But like you said, Gershwin was not that. He was this poor guy that came up, you know. So, I think the music should be marketed that way.
Right.
And should be accessible. Like, play it for kids in schools.
Right.
You know, invite kids to Lincoln Center. That's the thing, is you got to get kids into this stuff.
Yeah.
Let them meet the musicians.
Right.
Like a human connection, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a phone connection. And, like, everything is on a synthesizer now. Like, oh, I want this to sound like an oboe. Boom.
Right.
You know? It's like, I don't know.
You know what's starting to happen, though?
They're starting to
that's my Hawaiian accent coming out.
Yeah.
They're starting to sample things from, you know, composers like the Gershwin brothers and other things.
And I hate that.
I know, but it's an interesting kind of pendulum swing that society tends to do between the old and new.
Yeah. So they're like, fuck you, shit, fucking.
I love you.
First of all, the fact that that's the United Airlines theme song drives me up a fucking wall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, from Sunset Boulevard. That's terrible.
Oh, musically.
No, it's not from Sunset.
No? Oh, weren't you doing the...
Dun, Rhapsody dun, dun, dun,
dun, oh, Rhapsody in Blue.
Yes,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes. Anyway, this is why this is the last show.
I have to say...
You can't deny it sounds like Sunset Boulevard.
Okay, whatever.
I'm happy to be your last guest. Last show.
It's me over there. Yeah, go ahead.
I just saw Stevie Wonder... at the Barclays Center.
God damn it.
On Tuesday, I think it was. Stevie Wonder. Go see him if you...
seen him live.
Yeah.
Because I host the Bette Midler near the Halloween, and she had Stevie. He was fucking amazing.
Should I get that name too over there?
I just saw Burt Bacharach at the New Jersey PAC Center.
Yeah.
And I got in a huge fight with this guy. This is another Kill Me Now moment. You know, he does a lot of... I can't believe how many fucking songs he's written, by the way.
Yeah.
But, and he's like, can barely stand, but he's so fucking talented. This guy next to me in a sweater who I was already sitting and I had to do a whole armrest fucking fight with him. Yep. Like, get your fucking arm off. You're fat. And I had my arm hair first. Okay.
Right.
Starts singing along.
Oh, I hate that.
So I looked at him and I said, could you please stop singing?
Nice.
And he says, I'm sick of you, lady. Every time you're screeching, because after every song, it was like, yay, whoa. And then some other guy had yelled out a couple times, like, Bert, you know, you're the greatest of that. And Bert was like, thank you very much. And everyone would clap. So he got attention. So he kept doing it.
The guy next to you or different?
No, this other guy down the row. Yeah. You know, he kept going, and Bert, your album is amazing. And Bert, and finally, it was like, I said, shut the fuck up.
Right.
Under my breath, but you know what under my breath is. So,
out loud.
So when I tell this guy to please stop singing, because I'm at a concert not to hear you fucking, he was fake conducting. And it was completely off the beat. You know, he was like, ding, with his hand, and it was like, you don't even know how to conduct. Like,
did you think about switching seats?
No.
Like, were you with?
Well, Lisa was next to me, and I had really good seats, and I was like, no.
Because those kind of things probably don't bother her as much, right? Like, would you?
Well, she'll tolerate it. Yeah. Like, I don't tolerate.
Right.
So I said, could you please? And he's like, I'm sick of you, lady. You cursed it. You said the F word. I'm like, oh, my God. What are you like? And you told, and then you're screeching after every song. And I looked at him, and I thought in my head, okay, I could either, you know, like, completely put him down or miss 1 second of Bert singing. So I just looked at him in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Turned away and just started dancing in my seat to annoy him and enjoyed the rest of the concert. And he was so mad. He didn't conduct anymore and he wasn't singing, but he was like, you could tell he was so mad, but I wasn't going to even react. I'm not going to, you know what? It's exactly what he wants is like a fight.
You have to write these down, and this is your show, Judy. This is your sitcom. It's like these kind of moments where this fat guy is trying to take your armrest.
Sitcom, reality show. Just bring a camera around.
No, I don't like reality shows, and I don't want my kids on TV.
It would be the...
Yesterday, can I just say something? Okay, angry woman.
Yeah.
I get on the fucking subway. Okay, there's an angry woman.
Oh, I thought you were going to be the...
No. And I... Look, I have the one fake knee. The other one needs to be replaced. You saw me walking in Israel.
That was before the operation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I get on the subway and it's like, I'm so sick of these people. Like, just fucking move. Right. Yeah. So I found a seat and I knew this woman was like really mad. But I really do look for where my ass is going to fit. I don't do a squeeze.
Right, right.
I know I take up the whole thing and maybe a little over, you know, but I really do not do the squeeze.
Yeah.
So I found a seat and you know how, so I went to sit down and the train moves and I like kind of fell and my backpack went sort of near her.
Mm.
And I said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And she just, like, gave me the...
Right.
And I said, you don't have to be mad at me. I'm a nice person. And she would not even look at me.
Wow.
But she was, like, angry. What?
That would have broken my heart. I'd have been like, you're right. If you just said that,
I'm a really nice person. I don't know why you're angry.
I'd have been like, I'm sorry. You're right. Boss.
In that hypothetical situation.
And I can't with the man spread. Oh, go.
I had a thing on... Have you ever had this on the train where someone is listening to music?
Oh, my God! It's so fucking loud.
Yeah. And this kid came on, and it was really like the whole car.
Right.
You know, so... I kind of... I'm at a point in my life where I'll say something. I'll try to do it not in a combative way, but I'll say, excuse me... I can hear your music and it's bothering me.
And
he
and
just
like, what?
He just looked at me.
Because he can't hear you.
No, because he had taken it off.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
he
kind of looked at me with dead eyes. And then I was like, all right, you know, clearly this kid's not going
to. It's like the guy, what I did to the guy in the Burt Bacharach concert.
Right. So you know what I did? You know what I did?
What?
I walked to the next car.
God damn it, Ted. You gave up.
I didn't give up. It's like, well, if this kid
is taking control of the situation.
Yeah, if the kid is going
to
like.
No, but that's the difference between I will sit there and try to make a point.
Right.
Instead of.
What are we going to like stare at each other from across the train the whole time? Like, because maybe his reaction would have been like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize it was so loud, you know.
But did anyone like support you or hear you on
I felt like I had the support of the train.
Yeah,
I really
did.
I felt supported.
And no one else spoke up.
No. Well, that's the thing. It's like, I think everyone felt the same because this kid's music was so loud. But, you know, at that point for me, like you have the decision of like, I just want the kid's music to stop. Well, I can walk 20 feet and the music will stop.
Whatever.
You
that's
just changed
why you're
going
to live way longer than me. Yesterday I went on, there's these two guys. They're sitting next to each other. One is doing the man spread.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, like the legs are wide open.
Yeah. The legs are wide open. And there's a seat next to him. So I go over. This is pre-bitch. This was the first seat I tried to get into.
Same
commute? Yeah, same train. So his man spreading, and I'm looking at the seat. It's, you know, right next to him, and I'm just looking down, and
you're kind of letting him
like,
know.
You know, I'm going to sit, and he just looks up at me. And then his friend looks up at me, and they're like, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I thought you were going to actually close your legs. So then I did a Ted.
Yeah.
And I went down. I said, all right, fine. I'm going to take. And it's the fucking bitch.
You went to the next car and the bitch was
no,
there.
No, it's the same car down past the door. Mm. And there she was. I'm like, I don't need to be treated like shit by these fucking people when I do charitable work.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Maybe you should have a t-shirt saying that.
Or a sandwich board.
I do charitable work, you fucks.
Or a sandwich board.
Close your legs
and
let me sit.
So annoying. Do you do the man spread?
No. You know, I'm... That's a thing that probably like annoys me a lot about guy culture is just the, you know, the whole paternalistic society.
Yeah.
In general. The mindset of male superiority bothers me.
Right.
Of women being either objects,
or
something to dismiss, or something for your entertainment.
Right.
When
Ted,
I see that.
Where are more of you?
Well, I have sisters and I have a mother who are pretty badass. So, yeah, I think being around them. But
now,
yeah.
And you have no desire to get married.
I would like to. I look at it the same way I look at comedy. Like when I started doing comedy, I knew like, I love this.
Mm-hmm.
This is for me. And I'm going to do this whether I do great or whether, all the highs and lows.
Right.
I want to meet a girl, and I've had like one or two that I thought maybe.
Right.
But I want to meet a girl that I feel like.
Oh, my God.
I'm in it for the highs and the lows.
I know, but she's going to have to be like fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I already married her.
That's right.
But you're really.
Well, I don't know. I'm 46. Am I too set in my ways?
No, the guys, no.
I don't know.
No, I hope.
Oh, my God. You're such a catch.
Well, thanks. I mean, you know, life is good. But, yeah, I would like to have a wife.
You'd be such
a
good father.
That's another thing, yeah. Because I was with my nephews and niece yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that's always so fun.
Yeah.
But exhausting.
Right, yeah.
You know, so I wonder, like, shit, like. Am I going to be like a 60-year-old dad or something?
Yeah, probably. My father was 48 when I was born.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Look at me.
And you turned out great.
Man, I'm only on the Wellbutrin, Ritalin, Paxil, Trazodone. All right. Listen.
Many people ask me, why have you been on antidepressants for so long? Well, I have the answer. And here she is, my mother.
Judith, I have nothing. So please, when you come, bring a hunk of cheese so I can at least make something. And I guess that's all I need. I just got a call from a medical alert. He calls up and he says, I'm from medical alert. He said, can you hear me? I said, yes. He says, sorry about that. So long.
one of my wonderful messages from my mother.
Never gets old.
I love her, but she's not, you know, I don't know how much longer we're going to have her. She's 92.
God bless
me. And I was like, Ma, I'm going to have no aunt. She made me fucking feel guilty for so long. I, you know, I can make her.
Where is mom now?
Mom's in a nursing home.
In Jersey? Or?
Yes, and yeah. She calls herself an inmate. So it's really, she loves it. It's like, I met another inmate here. I'm like, okay, great, Ma.
What was the word she used in your act? You used to say you and your cohorts.
Oh yeah, that's an old joke about. Oh yeah, because Frank Sinatra died, and I called her to say Frank Sinatra died, and she said another one of my cohorts. And I was like, oh yeah, Frank, Sammy, Dean, Ruth. I forgot that
when you
that.
When you brought in Lauren Bacall's obituary, she's yeah. like, oh, did. They mentioned me.
Yeah, she's like, she went to high school with Lauren Bacall.
Was that right?
Betty Persky. And yeah. So my mother's like, oh, what's I, you know, she's kidding, of course, but you know.
She's
but
great.
Then I feel like there's a little bit of her going, is there?
No. Yeah, totally.
Ted, I love you, and I can't
you
thank
too.
You for being on Kill Me Now.
I
will you tell
can't
everyone
it.
To come on my show?
Of course I will.
You're the best.
I love you, darling.
Isn't he the best?
Yes. And so the reason we say I love you, darling, is because Elisa and I, when we were in Israel, we call each other darling.
Right, Aram? Yeah.
All we do is call each other
time.
Darling.
Back
call each
forth,
other
darling.
Dar, Darjeeling. Right. That's all we call each other. And Ted, just, we don't even have names anymore. It's
I
just darling.
I hopped on board that yeah. train.
So
yeah.
it's like darling. So then when we talk or email each other, it's like, darling, I love seeing darling. And you, wait, I was leaving the cellar a few weeks ago and I hear darling. I'm like, darling.
She was in the middle of the street. I was like a half a block away. I'm like, darling. She turns around.
Oh, darling. Well, all right. So, Ted, what? So you're at Ted Alexandro.
TedAlexandro.com. Yep. At Ted Alexandro on Twitter, Facebook, all
yeah.
that stuff.
Teacher's Lounge.
Teacher's Lounge. People can see all 10 episodes on YouTube.
And your special?
My special is on TedAlexandro.com. It's mm-hmm. called I Did It, and you can pay what you want.
Mm-hmm. I'd also like to point out, Judy, that Ted also is not verified on Twitter.
You're not verified on Twitter either?
No, I don't want to be.
I kind of don't want to be anymore.
Yeah.
I used to want to be.
I don't
remember
know,
I used
I don't
to get really
means.
Mad?
No.
And then I'm like...
No, it's going to happen right after
like,
the show,
you
both
know
of you.
What? It's like so annoying because it's like fucking high school.
That's exactly what
Do
it is.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
I'm verified on Facebook, though. And I didn't even ask or anything. I am really cool. But yeah, first I was going to... call my podcast not verified, and then I was like, no, that's like being caring,
and most people don't even know like
what it means.
Yeah, people in the industry might, but most people don't care. Yeah. You're verified
Anyways,
to me, darling.
Thank you. And you're verified.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Kill Me Now is on the CBS podcast network thing. I'm making it up. I don't even know what the hell it's called. Mm-hmm. And
we made it up.
Yeah. And if you hear a voice in the background, that's Lauren Hennessy.
Lauren.
At Judy's assistant.
Yeah, Judy's assistant, J-E-W-D-Y's assistant. And Lauren, besides being annoying, is kind of my sidekick, who I'd like to kick. Aram, my friend Aram, who laughs and lives in the neighborhood. Chemda. Thank you to Chemda of Keith and the Girl for letting us use their studios. But... really, thank you to Ted Alexandra for being my second guest.
My pleasure.
I love you, Ted.
I you
only
too.
Wish the best for you.
Thank you.
And keep protesting. You. And thank you all for listening to Kill Me Now. Follow me on Judy Gold. Wait, what am I on?
Judy
Wait,
Gold.
My website is regularjudygold.com. And then my Twitter is Judy Gold, JewDyGold. Where I get like the old Jews going, that's a disgrace.
You can find all that on her website
yes.
at judygold.com.
Whatever. Thank you so much, Ted.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for listening, losers.